Tonight I'd just like to just briefly consider the last of the five solas we've been looking at. And this one is for the glory of God alone. Now, Brother Tom mentioned that we were created for His glory. And sin entered the world and mankind lost their calling, as it were, to reflect the glory of God. Maybe you've heard it quoted before from the Catechism that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Man's chief end, the purpose of our existence, ultimately, is to bring glory to our Creator. Glory to our Redeemer, the one who gave Himself for us, and to enjoy Him forever. There's those two aspects of it. We have this God who made this world, who created us. But then there's this God who is our Savior, who redeems us and rescues us. Titus, he's called that great God and Savior. So I just have a few verses that speak of bringing glory to our God, glorifying Him. It's all about His glory. In Isaiah, we read, the Lord says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another. We look around us and we see that fallen man has tried to glorify man. And the secular humanism we have in the world, the religion of man is just man trying to save himself and to say that man is good. Basically, we're all good. And yet we're rotten, as we heard. We're depraved. We're basically evil. And yet we try to make ourselves to be God. And we glorify self. I believe that right from the Old Testament we could begin, and there's a prophecy that Isaiah gives of Jesus. It's a very familiar passage. It speaks of really the gospel. It speaks of the work of Christ, and it says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Now this was the passage when Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He was given the scroll to read. He opened to this passage, and He said, today this scripture is being fulfilled in your ears, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And I guess we could stop there, but the Bible doesn't stop there. The purpose, or the end of this, the end of the gospel, as it were, the end of the work of Christ, is to bring glory to God. It says that He might be glorified. Not the one that is opening the prison doors, but that God Himself is glorified in the work of redemption. Now, primarily this applies to Christ, but I believe it's also, as it were, transferred to His disciples, to us. We have this responsibility, this privilege, to proclaim liberty, to preach good tidings, to to speak words that will bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. That's what the gospel is all about, isn't it? But it's all that he might be glorified, that God might be glorified. You know, the enemy tried to rob God of that. The apex, our brother said. That thing that God had created, the most important thing, he robbed man, as it were, from God. But God is glorified in redeeming and bringing us back to God. There's another verse. Apostle Paul, in writing to the Galatians, by his own personal testimony, he says this: they heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. And they glorified God in me. There ought to be something about the way I live. There ought to be a transformation in my life that will point to the glory of God. Others will see that God has worked in me, that the grace of God is abundant upon me. We have a wonderful privilege to come to a place like Pilgrim Camp. But we all realize that maybe tomorrow we're all going back, as it were, to a place that's not like Pilgrim Camp. Now, young people go back to school. And maybe you and I go back to places of employment where people are not godly. Society all around us bombards us with the pleasures of this world. And so, am I going to be different? Is my life going to be lived in such a way that someone will say, God is in Chris, or God is in Jacob, or God is in Teddy? There's something different about Teddy. Teddy's not the Teddy that I know. I mean, he's different. And they glorified God in me. Again, it's about not taking credit. I can't take credit for that. Teddy, you can't take credit for that. Yesterday we read Paul saying, by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace upon me was abundant. I was a persecutor. I blasphemed. But by the grace of God I am what I am. God's changed me. We sang in that song, changed from glory into glory. And you see, that's an ongoing thing. There's always more that God wants to do in us, to change us into his likeness, to restore that image that sin destroyed. Change from glory into glory. Hallelujah. God is at work in me, and he's being glorified in my life, in your life, as we yield to him and as Christ is seen in us. Not I, but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ. I must decrease that he might increase, that he might be glorified. And not only in salvation, as it were, not only in this transforming work that he does, but in our service to God. You know, there's that temptation at times, beloved, my dad would say, or says, you know, we've all been inoculated with pride. You know that? You know what that's about? And that means, you know, I do something for God and I say, wow, look what that worked out pretty good. That was pretty good. But in our service to God, we read in In the book of Peter, it says this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. And here it is, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so if God chooses to use me to bless someone else, the glory is His. It's not my glory. The glory is His and His alone. And so when we're tempted, the enemy comes and tempts us to somehow take credit. Oh, just a little bit. We need to go to God and say, God, rid me of that thing. Lord, I want you to be glorified, and I want you to be glorified alone. The church, the body of Christ, ought to bring glory to God. I wonder how well we do as a whole. Is the church of Jesus Christ truly bringing glory to God? We read in Ephesians chapter 3, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here it is, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We like that, right? He's able to do exceeding abundantly. Thank God for that promise. We claim that. But again, the purpose, the end, is that he may be glorified in his church. How much of our church program glorifies man? And we need to get down and humble ourselves and say, God, forgive us. We want you to be glorified and you alone. God, hide me so deeply in yourself that it's no longer I but Christ. That he's the one that's seen. He's the one that's glorified. Help me, Lord, to get out of your way. There's a passage I'd like us just to look at in closing, or before we come to the Lord's table. It's a very familiar passage. It's found in Philippians chapter 2. It speaks of our Lord Jesus. Probably best if we start from the beginning. I'm going to read from the NIV. Please forgive me. Sister Nora was impressed because I was reading the King James and all of a sudden I was reading something else and she said, how does he do that? And I told her my secret, I have a parallel Bible. So I sometimes go back and forth, so just bear with me. But I think the NIV expresses it well, especially these first few verses. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. I think it would be right to say, or safe to say, that if the body of Christ would truly love one another and have this mind that was in Christ Jesus, then we would bear much better testimony to the world that was watching. This really isn't the purpose of what I'm saying tonight, but I wonder, you know, what the Lord thinks when he looks down and he sees all these different churches who have all the different names. You know, we have different denominations. And again, I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily, but I just wonder, what does Jesus think of all that? I think Jesus looks down and he sees those that are his in all those different churches. But I wonder, if we were just clothed with humility, would we need all those distinctions? Let's just take that even further. Within a church, within just that little body of Christ, maybe that you're connected with and I'm connected with, is Christ glorified in the unity and in the harmony and in the love that we have for one another? You think that brings glory to his name? They'll know we're Christians. What does it say? By our love. And so I think this is so fundamental, so important, and so many times we overlook it. Or we say it's not really, you know, this is the most, maybe the most important. What we are on the inside. Let nothing, it says, be done out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I need to care about the other person more than I care about myself. I need to put his or her interests ahead of my own. Serving God, living for God, walking with God is not about convenience, beloved. It's about laying down our lives for the brethren. And Paul, he just, you know, how can you resist, as it were? How can you stand against this argument now? Because now he shows us this is exactly what Jesus did. Your attitude, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, we're reminded of this death that brought us life, this death that was offered because God so loved the world, that although man had chosen to be rotten, God still, by his grace, reached down and rescued us. He sent the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Hallelujah. That at the name of Jesus, my wife spoke about that name of Jesus, there's power in the name. Why is there power in the name of Jesus? Because God has given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And how does that end? To the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. And so Jesus' death upon the cross, this sacrifice he made, the incarnation that God came and became one of us, took upon our form, gave himself for us. God exalts him, raises him from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father, ever liveth, living to make intercession for us, all to the glory of God. That day is coming, beloved, when every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. And so what's my response to this? How can I, as it were, resist this? This is what Christ did. How can I do any less? This mind that was in Christ, this attitude that possessed Christ, has to be in me. I need to be willing to humble myself, to lay down my life, that Christ may be glorified in me, that God the Father may be glorified in my life, your life. I asked Brother Paul if he knew this little song I wanted to share with you, and of course he asked me what key. It's... But I don't know the key, so we're going to just try it. But let me just give you a little background. I just spoke the other night a little bit about my brother David. And this was a song that somehow the Lord brought into our assembly, our congregation. I don't know whether it was before he was killed or right after, but just right around that time, the Lord brought this song to us. And it goes like this. May the things that I do and the words that I say be all to the glory of God. May the days that I live, whether short, whether long, be all to the glory of God. All to the glory of God, all to the glory of God. May the days that I live, whether short, whether long, be all to the glory of God. And that's my response to this. This ought to be our response to the grace of God, to our Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for us, to this wonderful full salvation that has been provided for us. My response is, Lord, I want to live for your glory. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And so, Lord, may the words that I say and the things that I do be all to the glory of God. Lord, we give our days to you. Lord, we don't know how much time you'll give us on this earth. But Lord, we want our days to be for your glory. Lord, remove the pride from our hearts. Oh God, clothe us with your humility. Help us to be willing to take the lower place, as it were, so that you may be glorified. Search our hearts, Lord. Lord, as we consider your sacrifice for us, as we consider these emblems that you've left for us, your body broken for us, your blood shed for us, help us to receive these from your own hand and to take the grace that's flowing from Calvary. Lord, we know that you are at work to change us into your likeness. Changed from glory into glory, oh God. Finish then thy new creation. Come. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, come to us tonight.